Isn't it exciting to be part of a church that is fired up about being on mission with God? And that's who we are. That's what we're about, and giving our lives away and serving other people. Now, for you to get the most out of this experience, I need some help. I need about one, two, three. I need about seven volunteers to come forward quickly. Seven volunteers. Come on. You don't have to be afraid. Come on up. Seven volunteers. That's one, two, three, four. Come on. Five, six. Now, I need you to grab some pens and worship folders. If you do not have a pen or a worship folder, you will not be able to participate in what we're about to do. So, raise your hand if you don't have a pen or a worship folder, and we'll get that to you quickly, okay? Because we're going to go on this journey together. You've got to have what you need to go where we're going. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, everybody, if you don't have a pen or a worship folder, hold your hand up. We're going to get one to you. We've got tons of pens, tons of worship folders, and you'll need that. Now, have your Bible ready to go, your smartphone ready to go, to Matthew chapter 9, if you'll go ahead and dial that in. And then you'll need a sermon listening guide, and you'll need this gold insert. This is where we're going to land the plane, is on this gold insert, okay? So everybody will need one of those to go where we're going. Just hold your hand up. We'll get one of these to you, and I appreciate your participation. This is going to be a lot of fun. And let's give it up for our volunteers. We could not function without our volunteers. Appreciate them so very much. A few more right over here to my left and your right. Well, welcome to our Missions Sunday. We are a church on mission with God, and we have missionaries and church planters from all over the world who are with us today on all of our campuses, and we say, to God be the glory. Now, the culmination will be tonight at 5 o'clock, our missions fair at our Creek campus, followed by a wonderful celebration banquet at 6 p.m., and I want to thank the North Campus for your generous response and buying tickets and being part of that. It'll be a great experience tonight. Looking forward to seeing you there. Champion Forest Baptist Church is a church on mission with God, committed to fulfilling the Great Commission. We're a church on mission with God to mobilize our members to be on mission. That is, to engage the culture with the gospel locally and nationally and internationally. That's who we are. And as a church, we believe in a literal hell. Is it okay to say hell in church? Well, the Bible says there is a hell, and we believe there is a literal hell, and we believe that people who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ go to hell. But the good news is we also believe in a literal heaven. Can I have an amen? And a literal heaven is those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ will spend eternity, not in hell, but in heaven because of that relationship. So our mission as a church, what we're giving our lives to, what we give our resources to, our energy, our time, our passion, our octane, all that we are, is to depopulate hell and to populate heaven. Our mission is to reach the lost at any cost. Our mission is to rescue people from the kingdom of darkness and to bring them into the kingdom of light. If you take Star Wars for an example, the goal is to rescue them from Darth Vader, the kingdom of darkness, and to bring them into the kingdom of light. I had to change the terminology to connect with some of you, but you get that. There are some people who are hell bound, and there's some people who are going to go to heaven. The one denominator is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we preach Christ in Him crucified. That's why we celebrate that the tomb is still empty, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. And His mission is our mission, and our mission is to continue His ministry upon the earth. Now look with me in Matthew chapter 9 in your Bible. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to fast forward. We've been in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to jump ahead to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." There are four questions that I want you to write down on your sermon listing guide. Here's question number one. What did Jesus see? What did Jesus see? I want you to notice how Jesus is doing life and ministry. He's on mission with God. And as he is preaching and as he is teaching and as he is entering the synagogues, as he is entering the villages, as he is entering the cities, he's preaching and teaching and healing every disease and every affliction. That is, Jesus is on mission with God doing the ministry of God. And as he's on mission with God doing the ministry of God, we notice that Jesus sees the crowds, that is, the masses. And the question is, what did he see? He saw them individually. He saw the reality of their spiritual blindness. He understood their lostness, that they were disconnected from our holy God, that they were far from God. Here's question number two. How did he respond? How did Jesus respond? Well, the Bible says that he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He noticed when he saw them that they were harassed. They were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible says that Jesus had compassion for them. Now, this Greek word in the language of the New Testament for compassion is a loaded word. Matthew uses it 5 times, Mark uses it 4 times, and Luke uses it 3 times. And this word for compassion literally means a stomach-wrenching empathy. It means to be moved deeply, to be stirred emotionally. It is a strong emotion that leads to deep sympathy, a deep connection. I want you to think about in your lifetime, maybe an experience you had that moved you to tears, an experience that you've had that just drew out of you this gut-wrenching compassion, this empathy, this sympathy, that you had such a heart and such a burden for someone else. That's what Jesus experienced when he saw the crowds. When he saw the masses, he was so moved and stirred and drawn to their reality. They were harassed, and that literally means they were troubled. They were distressed. The Bible says they were helpless. That is, they were oppressed. They were thrown down. They were discouraged. And as Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. He was drawn to them because he recognized that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he had to respond. Instead of just saying, oh, I feel so sorry for them, look at their condition. They're going to go to hell. They're separated from God. Instead of just acknowledging their condition, Jesus took action. And he put his compassion into action. Now, up until this point, the disciples were just watching Jesus from a distance, kind of observing him, watching him, listening to him preach, listening to him teach, and watching him heal sicknesses. They were just observing. They were watching him. And now there's a change where Jesus is about to hand them the baton and say, you're it. I'm handing this ministry off to you. I want you to continue this ministry upon the earth. And he mobilizes them. Look at verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. That is, look at all the souls. But the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out. In the language of the New Testament, it literally means to thrust out. To send out laborers into his harvest. So here's the third question. What do you see? What do you see as you're doing life? What do you see as you go through your normal daily routine? What do you see as you go to work? What do you see when you get to work? What do you see when you're exercising? What do you see when you're on your way to school? What do you see when you engage a homeschool group? What do you see when you go to practice? What do you see when you go to rehearsal? What do you see when you go to the fast food line? What do you see when you go to the grocery store or to Walmart or Home Depot or Lowe's? What do you see? What do you see when you drive these busy streets in this amazing city called Houston? What do you see? And are you moved? What do you see? You know, when you look at our harvest, the reality is there's over 7.3 billion people on the planet. That's hard to fathom, isn't it? 7.3 billion. And knowing that 1.7 billion of our population have no access to the gospel. Knowing that half of our population, if we If Jesus came today during this message, over half of our population would be left behind. Probably more like two-thirds of our population left behind. So what do you see? When you look at the crowds, what do you see? When you look at your neighbors, you say, wow, boy, our neighborhood sure is changing. Look who's moving in. Looks like our neighborhood is radically shifting. Well, there goes our neighborhood. Or is God bringing the nations to our neighborhoods? Is God bringing the nations to our schools? Is God bringing the nations to our workplace? Maybe God's bringing the nations to us so that we in turn can make a difference in their lives. But the reality is you can become desensitized. When you look at the crowds, when you look at the masses, you can become desensitized and you can go numb. And you become so myopic and so self-focused and all about your agenda, what you're trying to accomplish, what you need to get done today, what you want to do to bring pleasure to your own life, that you can be so self-focused that you totally miss the harvest that God's bringing to us. Here's question number four. What will cause you to move beyond your skin? What will cause you to move beyond your skin? What bothers you? What breaks your heart? When Jesus said, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, here's what I've been challenged with. What if you became the answer to your own prayer? Instead of God send somebody to go reach that continent, God send somebody to go reach that unreached people group, God, would you send somebody to reach Houston? Would you send somebody to go reach my boss? My coworker, my schoolmate, what if you became the answer to your own prayer? Lord, send me. I'm willing to be available for your use to engage the mission field. It's hard to believe that when I was 16, involved in a jet ski accident, when God called me to preach, and I was just as shocked as everybody else that God could use me at any level to preach the gospel. I was just a junior in high school, wanting to be an architect, had big dreams about building great buildings for God. And God interrupted that path to call me to preach. Now, it took being on my deathbed, it took being on life support for God to get my undivided attention and to convince me that He was calling me. Some people, it's a very smooth experience where one day they just wake up and say, you know what? I think I'm going to go into full-time ministry and serve God. For me, it was very abrupt, very traumatic, and it was a deathbed experience because that's what it took for God to call me to preach. Then 26 years ago, it was in 1990, September, is when I was ordained to the gospel ministry. And what really troubles me, ordained in 1990 and as a pastor and was pastoring, and then it was in 1998, after I had pastored my seminary church, went to my hometown, that an older pastor reached out to me, one of my mentors, and he reached out to another young pastor, and he said, guys, I want to take both of you to Atlanta and go to the Global Focus Conference. We didn't even know what that was, but we wanted to spend time with him, so we went. And it was during that conference that God began to expand my understanding of His mission for the local church, because I was so focused on the local church and shepherding the local church and nurturing and investing in the local church and serving the local church that I just really didn't have a vision for how to reach the world. And it was at this Global Focus Conference on the evening session, the keynote speaker was Rick White, who at that time was pastor of the People's Church just south of Nashville. And I'll never forget when Rick said, now, how many of you are willing to go on a mission trip? How many of you are willing to be on mission with God? And all of us in that huge auditorium, we raised our hand and waved to me if you're serious about going on mission with God. If you're willing to go on a short-term mission trip, raise your hand. And I raised my hand and waved it at him because I was in, all in. And then he asked a second question. He said, now, how many of you have your passport? And I brought my hand down. If you have your passport, he said, raise your hand. And I couldn't raise my hand. I was willing to go on a mission trip, willing to go be on mission with God, but I didn't have a passport. So my first step of obedience when I returned to my hometown was to secure a passport. And how God worked was Tanya secured her passport. And then Tanya went to Kazakhstan on a mission trip before I did. She went first, and here I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home. I'm supposed to set the pace, but God put in her heart to go to Kazakhstan, and she went with our team to Kazakhstan. She went first. Then I got to go, and I got to experience that, and God put the world in my heart. And I came to understand that as we put our arms around the world, God puts his arms around us in such a unique way. When we live beyond ourselves and we wrap our arms around the world to love the world to Jesus Christ. But the first step is you've got to have a passport if you're going to go on a short-term international mission trip. You see, God wants you to learn to bloom where he plants you. That's being on mission with God. To keep your yes on the altar, to be available to go wherever God wants you to go. But you also, as Bill Hybels says, you have to be willing to walk across the room. You have to be willing to walk across the street. You have to be willing to go on a short-term mission trip. You have to be willing to move onto the mission field. If God calls you to leave your comfort zone and relocate to another country, you've got to be willing to go and obey God in that call. Maybe God will call you to reach an unreached people group out of our 12,500 people groups on this planet. You see, right now, we're what's called the church gathered. We're together in an air-conditioned room. Isn't this comfortable? And this is portable. Just wait till we go permanent. This is a church gathered. And in just a few moments, we're going to be dismissed, and we're going to go down this long driveway to 2920, and you'll see signs at the end of our driveway here that say you are now entering your mission field. Right now, we're the church gathered, and we're warming each other up. We're encouraging each other. We are receiving a message from God. Our life groups have invested in us. We're encouraging one another so that as a church gathered, we're about to be the church scattered into the world. And I want to make sure you understand what the church is. The church is not a cruise ship. It's not about our comfort. The church of the living God is an aircraft carrier. As you fly in and you land as a church gathered so you can be refueled and refreshed and be encouraged so that you can take off again and go back into the world on mission with God. We're an aircraft carrier where we bring them in, train them up, send them out. Bring them in, train them up, send them out. That's who we are. That's what we're made to do, to be a church on mission with God. Invite your attention to that gold card in your worship folder. If you'll hold that up for me, look at the back. CFBC members launched into full-time ministry and missions. It's so encouraging to read this list. You'll recognize many of the names. And this is not a final list. There are names being added daily. And this isn't an exhaustive list. There are many other names of people who have been launched into full-time ministry and missions from Champion Forest Baptist Church. You can recognize several of the names just looking over them. But even here at our North Campus, David and Kendra Upchurch were called out of Champion Forest Baptist Church to go into ministry. They were in student ministry together as students and fell in love, got married. Isn't that sweet? I'd have just interviewed them. I want to know more. And just surrender to go with God and be on mission with God. And they went and served other churches. Then God called them back to Champion Forest to serve here. And they've been so vital in launching our North Campus and serving here at our North Campus. Allie Kretzinger, from Champion Forest Baptist Church, as a layperson, just serving in weekday ministry, then became resource room director, and then we invited her to join the North Campus team to be our kids minister at the North Campus. And she and Kyle faithfully serving in our kids ministry. Chris Todd, nurtured at Champion Forest Baptist Church, a layperson serving in media, and then surrenders to the ministry and joins the team to be our media pastor, and now he's the chief operating officer of Champion Forest Baptist Church, our COO. He's cool. And it's good to see him right back here with Katie. They just said, yes, Lord, whatever you want to do in us and through us, the answer is yes. Lewis and Michelle Miori owned a sporting goods store, and God called them into the ministry, and they sold everything and went to seminary. And then one day, Wally Cobb called Lewis and said, we'd like for you to come join the counseling department at Champion Forest Baptist Church and be over pastoral ministries. And Lewis and Michelle said yes. Have three amazing children who grew up at Champion Forest Baptist Church, all serving God in different capacities. And Stephen Miori, one of their sons, was our student worship leader when we moved here almost 10 years ago, leading worship. Then he became our videographer and does all these cool videos like we enjoyed today. Now he's our communications pastor. He's over the whole communications department at Champion Forest Baptist Church. These are individuals who God has just raised up and called out of our church. And my question to you is, can we add your name to the list? Are you available for God's use? Can't wait for you to hear from Pastor Mike Purcell. Mike, come on up here. Y'all welcome Pastor Mike Purcell. So glad he's here with us today. So Mike, come on, let's have some fun. Mike, his wife Genevieve, and then they have two children. Is it Eliana's 5, and then Nora is 3. Is that correct? And I want you to hear his story and just his connection to Champion Forest Baptist Church. And he came a long way to be here this morning. So tell us your story and where you serve.
All right. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you to all of you for having me here. This is my 4th time coming to Mission Sunday at Champion Forest Baptist Church. And I was telling everyone earlier that every time I come, I always come away encouraged and motivated to go back and continue being on mission in Seattle, where I grew up and where I'm from. And so Champion Forest supports our church plant, Redemption Church, which is just about 30 minutes north of downtown Seattle in an area called Mill Creek. But the relationship began long before that. And so Redemption Church was planted out of Journey Church, and Journey Church was planted in 2006. And very early in the life of Journey Church, Champion Forest supported and helped Journey Church in many ways. Sending mission teams, financial support, even buying for Journey Church portable church or church in a box equipment.
Now, what is that? We're not familiar with that. Can you tell us more about church in the box? What is portable church now?
Well, as you all know very well, when you're a portable church, you need some good equipment. And so you all bought us a trailer and some of these bins here, like you see, which Journey Church used when Journey Church was a portable church. And so my wife and I got involved in Journey in 2008. And at that time, Journey was meeting at Jackson High School in Mill Creek. And then I came on staff as the pastor of children and families in 2009. Then in 2010, we went from the area of Mill Creek and we went further north into Everett. And Journey began leasing a building full time.
So y'all went from portable to permanent?
That's correct.
How does that feel?
It felt pretty good. It felt pretty good.
Okay.
There were a lot of grateful people.
Yes.
And at that time, we no longer needed the trailer and the bins that Champion Forest had purchased for us. And so we said, let's let other church plants use this. Let's just let them use it and be a blessing to them. And so we were able to let other churches use it. We said, we might need this again sometime in the future, but for the time being, we want you to use this. And so they did. And then as time went on, you know, at Journey Church, we wanted to be a church that planted churches. We knew that if the greater Seattle area was to be reached for the gospel, there needed to be churches that multiplied. And so the city of Seattle is made up of 600,000 or 700,000 people. But if you expand out to what's called the Puget Sound, which includes other cities right around Seattle, it's made up of 4 million people. And less than 4% of the population attend a worship service on any sort of regular basis. And some of those worship services, as you might guess, don't necessarily proclaim the gospel all that well. So there's not very many people who know Jesus in the Puget Sound. And so we know that in order to change that, we want to be a part, at least a small part of this gospel multiplication. Multiplying disciples, multiplying small groups, and multiplying churches. And so Journey Church had this vision to be a church that planted churches. Right. And we began talking about that seriously in 2013. And we had this idea that we refer to as the back plant. So Journey Church started in Mill Creek in a high school, or in schools, one of which was a high school, and then went up further north into Everett, leasing a building full time. And it was only about a 15-minute drive. There's only not a long distance, but it was a different context. And so in Everett, it was more of a small urban setting, whereas the Mill Creek area is more of a suburban setting. And what we noticed when we moved up into Everett is that we maintained members and small groups and ministry opportunities down in Mill Creek, but we no longer effectively reached people in the Mill Creek area. So we began to reach and gather people in the Everett area and simply maintain back down in the Mill Creek area. So we said, in order to be increasingly faithful to do great commission work, why don't we plant another church back down in the Mill Creek area that can focus on reaching and gathering people and making disciples in that area, and Journey can remain faithful to do the Great Commission work in Everett. And so that plan eventually came to fruition, and we planted back in the Mill Creek area, launched our weekly services in September of 2015 using the same trailer and the same bins that Champion Forest originally had purchased for us. And it is amazing how durable they are. These things have taken abuse from multiple churches, but we're still able to use them, which is a huge blessing. And the ongoing support from Champion Forest has been tremendously helpful for us.
Well, Mike, first of all, thank you for sharing your journey, just God's faithfulness. I want to know, how did God call you out of the world you were in, the business you were in, to serve the local church as a kids pastor? Then how did God call you out of being a kids pastor into being a lead pastor of another campus?
Sure. Well, church planting really was on my heart. God put church planting on my heart in 2006. So at that time, I was a youth pastor at a church and realized that I probably needed to get a non-church job for a while so that my wife and I could really find a church that was like-minded, had kind of the same desire to plant churches and reach people. And so I actually took a job at Farmers Insurance as a liability claims adjuster, and that enabled us to get involved at Journey Church. Right. And my desire was just, let's just get involved, let's just serve, and let's just see what the Lord does. And as we did that, we got involved in 2008. Eventually, they came to me, that the pastors of Journey Church said, hey, we would like to hire a pastor of children and families. We think that's you. Would you think about that and pray about that? And I said, sure. And so we took time, and eventually that happened, and got involved at Journey, which was great. And we went through the transition, moving up to Everett, and that was good. And I had a conversation with our lead pastor, Matthew Savage, and I said, in 2011, I said, you know, I do believe that at some point God is going to call me to church planting. And he affirmed that. He was excited about that. We both agreed that we needed to kind of help Journey continue to get a little bit more established. And so we just worked together on that. And then we began talking more seriously about church planting in 2013. And what I appreciated about Matthew is that as the lead pastor of Journey Church at the time in 2014, when we started talking to the church about it, we were only a church of about 130 adults. So not a big church, but he had the faith to say, we want to send people to plant a church. And so he talked to the church about it and said, we want you to pray about this. If God is calling you to do this, then we want you to go. And he didn't know how many people would go. He didn't know what kind of impact it would have on Journey Church. And so he was very open-handed about it. He said, we believe this is what God is calling us to do. We believe it will help us to be more faithful to reach people for Jesus. So I'm just going to be open-handed. Whatever it takes, we'll do it. And so that was a huge blessing to me as a church planter to be sent out. And it ended up that 26 people, 26 adults, along with 27 kids. So we take, be fruitful and multiply seriously.
Yes, you do.
We're eventually...
We call that biological church growth.
And we were able to go out. And one of the things that we told the church planting team that went out from Journey Church is we knew that many of them lived back down in that Mill Creek area. But we told them up front, we are not planting this church so that you can have a church closer to your home. We're planting this church because there are tens of thousands of people right in that area who haven't heard the gospel and who don't know Jesus. And we believe God is sending us to reach them. And so it was a different kind of church plant, because this church planting team wasn't having to move to a different community, a different state, different country. It was simply recognizing that God was calling us to plant a church because he was sending us to our neighbors, our coworkers, the parents whom we know through our kids' schools, our family members. He was sending us to reach them, and that is why we planted Redemption Church out of Journey Church.
Wow. What a powerful testimony. Well, let's affirm, Pastor Mike, thank you for being with us. We'll see you tonight at the banquet. Looking forward to it. Okay. Appreciate you so much. Well, I'm going to invite your attention now to the other side of our gold card insert, and look where it says Missions Day at CPC. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in this harvest, and this is our time to commit. And I'm going to ask you to fill this out. You're going to turn it in just a moment, so be ready. Look at the first option. I will pray with CPC according to Matthew 9:38 every day at 9:38 a.m. So let's set our clocks to give us a little reminder at 9:38, either morning or evening or both, morning or night or both, to pray at 9:38. Pray Matthew 9:38. You can check that. Look at number two. I will give to support missions through the cooperative, through the Champion Forest World Missions offering. If you'd like to participate in that, check that. The Lord of the harvest has sent me to, see the blank there, that's for you to fill in or to pray about. Maybe God's calling you to go serve a certain area, a certain culture, a certain vocation. And then notice, I will serve on local CFPC ministry and mission team. I'd love to serve on the local CFPC ministry and mission team. another option. I will go on a CFPC short-term mission trip in 2017. Now, if it's nationally, you don't need a passport. If it's an international mission trip, which we're going to showcase tonight at our banquet, you need to get a passport, but that is so vital if you're going to be on mission with God. And then notice the third one here under, I will relocate to serve another CFPC campus. Now, as you know, Conroe Community Church is about to become a campus of Champion Forest. As you know, Jersey Village Baptist Church is about to become a campus of Champion Forest. So we're about to become one church in five locations. And I had another church contact me a week and a half ago saying, would you pray about us becoming a campus of Champion Forest Baptist Church? Now that's just the favor of God. Other churches seeing what God's doing at Champion Forest, and they want to be a part of riding the wave God's creating. Can we be part of your team? And so would you be willing, as the Lord leads you, to go serve another campus? Did you know that 3.5 years ago, we asked God to raise up 300 people from our Creek campus to come launch the North Campus? 300 people that God raised up. And after 1 year, 150 of those returned back to the Creek campus to go back into their areas of ministry where they were serving. So you say, but we lost 150 people? Yes, but God added them. God grew us. And last Sunday, we had on this campus 725 individuals. 725. There's over 1,400 people today who call the North Campus their church home. This would have never happened had 300 people not stepped up 3 years and 2 months ago and said, we'll serve, we'll go, we'll launch. And maybe God's calling some of you. Now listen, this is painful. I'm your shepherd. I invest in you. I love you. I'm enjoying watching you grow and develop. I love watching you serve. I love watching you thrive. But if God's calling you to go serve another campus, you must obey God. Now, we don't want all of you to go serve another campus, because then we'll be inviting others to come back and serve us, right, to get us going. But if God's put in your heart to go help one of our other campuses, we want you to obey God. Because one day you'll stand before God and give an account for how you invested your life. So what's God putting on your heart? It may be that God's calling you to vocational ministry. It may be that God's calling you to be an international missionary, if you'll check one of those. If you'd like more information on what to do next, if you'll check that. Now I want everyone in the room to write your name, email address, and cell phone number. Name, email address, cell phone number. Regardless of what you checked on this card, we want to know who responded. And I want to see it. I'm going to pray over these. I mean, I already went through every one that was turned in our 9 o'clock service. I stayed in here and went through every single one that was submitted. And I want to see yours. So if you put your name, email address, and phone number. And those of you who need further information, we will respond to you personally. We'll call you or email you to set up a time to connect with you. And here's what I want to do. I want you to hold this card up. We're going to pray over it. And we're going to turn them in. You ready? Hold it up. I don't see them waving at me. Hold up your card and let's pray over them.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.